Good afternoon. First of all, I want to welcome Monsignor Duncan. He's here every week to help with confessions, but rarely says Mass for us. And he's helping us at a pinch because Father Zach is gone, Father Dan is gone, leaving Father Joe and I, and that's way too many Masses for two people. If you want to know why Our Lady of Mount Carmel is the way it is, it's because of his leadership of the parish for so many years. So it's great to have him back here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Just a couple of announcements. The Lord's Challenge started yesterday with the Our Lady of Lourdes Novena. We're on day two, but you can catch up. There is plenty to participate in, including there's a whiteboard, two whiteboards with an image of Our Lady of Lourdes in the center. And we invite you to put the names of people who are sick. Maybe you're preparing for surgery. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who's sick. Add those names and we'll be praying for those sick people during the novena, because February 11th is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's also the International Day of the Sick. So please make sure to add those names for those who need prayers. Also, we have a wonderful talk that's going to happen tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the parish hall. We welcome Father John Hollowell, who is a priest in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, who took a pilgrimage to Lourdes. The apparition of Lourdes is known for its healings, and he went there with terminal brain cancer and came back, did an MRI, and was healed. So it's an amazing story, and that just happened like a year or two ago, made national news. So come and hear his firsthand account of that experience tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Also next Sunday at 12:30, we'll be doing the anointing of the sick for anybody who is ill and in need of healing. Attention all high schoolers, this Thursday is the due date, the last day to register for Destination Jesus. I'm talking to the teenagers, I'm also talking to parents. Please have your kids come to this wonderful opportunity. And finally, for all married couples, join other couples from our parish for a Fat Tuesday date night, February 13th, for an evening of fun. Maybe you haven't looked at the calendar, but Valentine's Day is also Ash Wednesday. Like, what do I care? No, I'm very concerned about you all. So come on the 13th to celebrate, because the 14th, you'll be fasting. If you want to go out to dinner, you just get bread and water, so it's not going to be fun. So come on the 13th. Incidentally, on the 13th, the sisters invited me over for a pancake dinner. It's going to be wild time at the convent. So, those are the announcements for this week. You know, mothers-in-law have been the objects of jokes and satire, some humorous and some mean, for centuries. For example, one cynic observed that behind every successful man stands a surprise mother-in-law. Oh, come on. That was a great one. That was Father Joe. He gave me that joke. I reflected on St. Peter's mother-in-law as I prepared my homily. I wondered if she was surprised when Jesus chose her son-in-law, fisherman, to not only be an apostle, but the leader of the apostles and the rock upon which Jesus would build the church. The text doesn't say, but knowing Peter the way we know Peter and his propensity to put his foot in his mouth, I wonder if he said something like, "Oi, Jesus, I don't know about this." That's my best Jewish mother-in-law impersonation. We really don't know much about her, as this scene in the gospel is her debut and also her curtain call, because she is important considering what follows. We do know that Peter, who at the time was still known as Simon, was worried about his mother-in-law as she lay ill with a fever, so ill she was unable to tend to the guests that have arrived. Fevers were often caused by malaria in ancient times, but at the same time was life-threatening. So the apostles did what we often do with the news that somebody is sick or ill or dying. They immediately intercede and come to Jesus. Her healing seems to be Jesus' warm-up for his post-Sabbath agenda, when at sunset he would begin a long night and probably early morning of healing and exorcisms. Jesus and his disciples would need a little respite to gain strength through rest and a good meal. What sometimes annoys modern ears is the mother-in-law's actions after her healing. Mark says, she got up and she began to wait on them. And of course, cynics that espouse a cynical worldview picture her as a caricature of women who must take the inferior place in society and wait on men. Oh boy, that's not true at all. Actually, her reaction to her healing is a model of discipleship, not only for women, but for men and women, for all of us. The Greek verb that St. Mark uses is diakonao, which later becomes a standard term in Christian ministry. In fact, we derive the word deacon from the same root. And it's what Jesus said he came to do. That is, not to be served, but to serve. In response to Jesus' generosity to her, she in turn becomes a dynamic reflection of Jesus' generous spirit. And she enters into what we would call ancient teamwork. Her willingness to serve allowed the apostles to serve and play their role as assisting Jesus as he began to build the kingdom. St. Paul espoused a similar sense of service. To underscore his dutiful service to the gospel, he wrote, "I am under compulsion and have no choice but to preach the gospel." And he wasn't like modern televangelists who become rich, make millions and millions of dollars through their preaching. He reminded the Corinthians that he preached the gospel free of charge. Different only by degree in their service, Peter's mother-in-law and St. Paul reflect Jesus' generous and unselfish spirit of service. Paul in his way, and the mother-in-law in hers. And then one wonders, what is our way? Are we like Jesus in the duties of our calling? Are we unselfish in our daily lives as they were in theirs? Or do we hold back the bulk of our lives to be selfish and self-serving? You know, we've ever heard the expression, there's no rest for the wicked. Actually, that's wrong. There is rest for the wicked because they think only of themselves and their own comfort. But true happiness and personal satisfaction comes from imitating the generous, unselfish spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's the collective work and mission of the people of God, starting here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel and all the many parishes throughout our diocese and throughout the universal church. We work together to create something beautiful in obedience to God. This weekend, I'm preaching, asking you for financial support of our mission through the Catholic Ministries Appeal, also known as CMA. Many priests dread doing these kinds of appeals, and I must admit, this is the sixth time I've given this homily. It's not exactly exhilarating, but the sixth time, it reminds me of the movie Groundhog Day. It's the same thing over and over and over again, but I'm continually renewed to be a part of the Universal Church founded by Jesus Christ himself, and the CMA appeal is our yearly reminder that we belong to something bigger than just what we have at our homes or our parish home here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And this campaign is very much like the actions of St. Paul and the mother-in-law, that we play our part in building the kingdom in the way that God tells us to do so. Because geographically we are a good distance from Lafayette, the sea city of our diocese, some think that we don't benefit or make a difference in our diocese, but the Catholic Ministries Appeal supports a variety of ministries that our parish benefits from every single day. And many are also led by parishioners from Our Lady of Mount Carmel. For example, CMA supports our Catholic schools, led by our parishioner Trudy Young, a diocesan superintendent of Catholic schools. Our parishioner Rob Hartley leads our diocesan office of evangelization, family life, and pastoral ministry. A growing number of Hispanics in our parish and diocese benefit from diocesan programming. Tarcisio, our Hispanic coordinator, told me just yesterday that there are now 18 parishes in our diocese that have English and Spanish liturgies. CMA supports our diocesan seminarians, including Jason DeBolt, Eric Wiedela, Carter Schmidt, and Thomas Nelson, all from our parish. CMA also supports the Vocation Office, led by former parishioner and son of our parish, Father Dominic Pitan, and our former associate pastor, Father Derek Aaron. In addition to supporting those in formation for our diocese, our vocation office directs those who feel called to religious orders. And thanks to their work and our continued prayers for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, there will be ministers that will serve you and your children and your grandchildren in the years ahead. CMA supports the formation of permanent deacons like Deacon Paul and Deacon Carlos Pareto. And there are also several who are from our parish who are currently discerning a call to that order. We support our diocesan, we have received support from our diocesan facilities office when we built the beautiful parish life center that we are enjoying finally after it's completed. Our diocesan Newman centers at Wabash College, Ball State University, and Purdue University, go Boilers, received diocesan support and funding that maybe you enjoyed as a student yourself, or maybe your children or grandchildren are receiving. I'm grateful for the support that our parishioners receive at our marriage tribunal that assists divorced Catholics in their annulment processes and healing. CMA has supported our Merciful Help Center with assistance insuring our trucks and offering grant money for our operation budget. And along with all these beautiful ministries, CMA supports the important, albeit more mundane, functions such as diocesan IT support or accounting or administrative support, employee health insurance and benefits, and so on. Incidentally, these employee benefits help us retain staff, most especially teachers at our school, in a very competitive job market. We are blessed to be members of the largest parish in the diocese, and what is obvious, a very financially blessed community, and that obligates us, I think at least, to lead in our support of the Catholic Ministry Appeal. Our goal this year is $847,000. If we exceed our goal, we receive a rebate. For example, last year, we received $43,500 back, which was used to continue to lower the debt on the Parish Life Center. And you already received a pledge card in the mail. If you forgot yours or you discarded it on accident or something, there are pledge cards at the end of the pews, and they'll be in the end of the pews throughout the month of February. Please return them in the collection basket or drop it off in our parish office. Remember that as you discern a pledge, that it can be fulfilled over the course of a year, which makes it perhaps more manageable for your budgets. We're also asking for 100% participation of all of our parishioners reaching the goal. I've already made my pledge and contribution myself, and so have many people in our staff. So may God bless us as we continue to model the discipleship of St. Peter's mother-in-law and of St. Paul. May we too serve the Lord generously.